now let's go to Pastor Brian as he picks up where he left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the priority of love.
Words hurt. Words cause damage. They go down to the depths of the heart and can hurt people. And that's what James is saying. It could be so bad that it could be set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a really evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So we praise the Lord with 1 minute. So the tongue has a very, obviously a very useful aspect in the things that we can rejoice in the truth. We can encourage people and bless them. And isn't it encouraging to get a word that someone, you know, just encourages you and blesses you? Don't you like being around people like that? You know, I just spent time at my father-in-law's house and my mother-in-law. And my father-in-law is that type of individual that he's always encouraging people, little kids, adults, and he's just so enjoyable to be around. And, you know, it blesses me. He always has something positive to say. And that's the type of individual we want to be and we want to find ourselves, because people are going to be attracted to that. We want to make sure that as we praise God, we're also being encouraging with our speech. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So 1 minute we're praising God, the next minute we're cursing someone. He says it shouldn't be that way. And, you know, as I give this study this morning, I want to reflect back just a little bit. And the one thing that's good or enjoyable about doing this study today is that I'm not doing it because there's a problem in the church. As if I see, you know, there's a lot of gossip that's taking place and I'm trying to crack down on that as a pastor. So it's more of preventive, you know, medicine. This is for the future. Let's let the Spirit of God remind our hearts of these things and get our hearts in line with, let's continue in this direction, that our words are going to be encouraging to one another. Because I will have to tell you that one Sunday morning I did have to stand up in our church in the other building, and I had to teach from this from a negative perspective and say, and I had to tell people, I had to rebuke my own congregation for, and I had to tell them, stop gossiping about my wife. You think I wanted to do that as a pastor? It broke my heart to have to do that for my wife as well as for the church. And now to stand in the church this day and to be able to rejoice in just the blessings that are taking place, you know, I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying that and receiving so much joy in the ministry at this day. I don't ever want to go back to what was happening at that point. So this message is to, let's continue on in the direction that we're going. And so with our speech, we need to realize that we could hurt people, we could devastate them. And believe me, my heart was devastated to have to, you know, hear the things that were being said about my spouse and the correctives. It's, you know, those words do hurt. Someone you love, you're going to naturally want to protect, and you care for them, and you're going to want good things said about them. And so we need to continue on in that direction. Because our words are very powerful. It's a very powerful force, and we need them to be controlled by the Spirit of God, not only in the church setting, in our family setting, but we treat one another, our spouses, our children, need to be under the control of the Spirit of God constantly, because our words could bring a deadly force. Let me give you a couple facts about how much we do speak. Probably surprised a little bit. It says the average person speaks at least 18 to 25,000 words a day. It's the average person. The average man speaks 25,000 words a day, and the average woman speaks about 30,000 words a day. I don't know how they figured this out, and I'm not being biased here. These are just some statistics. But I think the problem comes in is that the man speaks all of his 25,000 words away when he's at home, and then the woman's just getting started, and that's where the conflict comes in. Like, you know, I know that happens in my house. Now, also, that means you speak about one-fifth of your entire life you spend talking. One-fifth. And how much of that one-fifth is being encouraging, edifying, building up, and how much is tearing down? One-fifth of our entire life. That's why God could say, I'll just take a fifth of your life and I'll be able to manifest where our hearts are at. So that means that we put together a 54-page book each day. Each day you can write a 54-page book. Pretty scary, isn't it? And that means in a year, if you were to put them all in books, there'd be 66 books filled with 800 pages each. So we're talking volumes of our speech in a year. Pretty amazing, isn't it? We don't realize that we speak that much. I think some people do a little more than a fifth, but you know, that's up to them. But here we have a lot to be accountable for. And so we have volumes upon volumes upon volumes of words that have been recorded that we've spoken. And, you know, I think of the Bible, and I think I need to compare my speech. If I have a 54-page book and compare that each day, if that's my Bible that I've put together. I mean, how does my speech compare with the Song of Solomon, the way he speaks to his bride? And my wife, if that book was, you know, just part of that 54 pages. Or how much wisdom do I give out, like the book of Proverbs, to pass on to people? Or how much praise do I have to God in that 54-page book, like out of the Psalms, that would edify and praise the Lord? I mean, if you put it that way, it begins to become convicting. We realize we have a serious issue that we could be a great blessing or it could be great harm to an individual. Our speech could be set on fire from heaven or from hell. And so that's why it's so important that we get this under control. We don't make excuses. We realize I need to bridle this thing and make sure that I'm walking in love. And love is going to want to speak encouraging things to people. Yeah, there comes a time when you do need to rebuke somebody, but the Bible says speak the truth in love. And it comes from a gentle spirit and not an attacking and critical, but one to say we need to bring a change here. Let me look at a couple other passages in the New Testament. Look over at Philippians. Well, since you're in James, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verse 8. And Peter's actually going to quote out of the Proverbs, and we'll look at that proverb in a minute. 1 Peter 4, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another." Then he tells you, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And this is where I want to begin to focus on in looking at that aspect of gossip. Because gossip is an evil that exists within our society in every realm. Within the families, of family members speaking to one another about things that they shouldn't about another family member. Within the church, within the workplace. Just seems like there's just a lot of talking going on. And if you're truly walking in love, what love wants to do is love doesn't, if you love somebody, you don't want anyone else to know their faults. You want to cover those up for their sake because you care for them. You don't want them to be embarrassed. You don't want them to be humiliated.